God never closes one door without opening another. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, all your responsibilities, all your obligations, you're walking around like you've got 1,000 pounds on your chest, you're just walking around really kind of out of sorts, come on, you got to laugh. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Sometimes the only sense you can make out of life is a sense of humor. Please take time to laugh today. Be around funny people. Tell a joke. Read a joke. Laugh at yourself. Sometimes the funniest things that we get involved in are the little mistakes we make, little accidents we have, the little miscues. I laugh at myself. The other day, I was laughing so hard at something I did. You gotta laugh, folks. Okay. Now, today's scripture passage, as I continue from Monday and Tuesday, comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 8. Okay. Monday was, asking you shall receive. Tuesday was, seeking you shall find. Now, on Wednesday, and you know what's coming, knock and the door will be opened to you. Who's saying all this? Jesus is saying that. Okay. So, that's why I said at the beginning of the program, God never closes one door without opening another. And I got a story to make that point. It's a story I found in Chicken Soup for the Soul. Alright? Here it is. My wife Linda and I live in Miami, Florida. We had just started our self-esteem training program called Little Acorns to teach children how to say no to drugs, sexual promiscuity, and other self-destructive behavior, we received a brochure for an educational conference in San Diego. As we read the brochure and realized that everybody who was anybody was going to be there, we realized we had to go. But we didn't see how. We were just getting started, we were working out of our home, and had just about exhausted our personal savings with the early stages of the work. There was no way we could afford the airline tickets or any of the other expenses. But we knew we had to be there, so we started asking. Actually, they started to knock on doors. Listen to this. The first thing I did was to call the conference coordinators in San Diego, explain why we just had to be there, and ask them if they would give us 2 complimentary admissions to the conference. When I explained our situation, what we were doing, and why we had to be there, they said yes. So, now we had the tickets. I told Linda, we had the tickets and we could get into the conference. She said, great, but we're in Miami and the conference is in San Diego. What do we do next? Okay, so what's the next door he knocks on? So I said, we've got to get transportation. I called an airline I knew was doing well at the time, Northwest Airline. Or it says here, Northeast Airlines. Okay. The woman who answered happened to be the secretary to the president, so I told her what I needed. She put me directly through to the president, Steve Quinto. I explained to him that I had just talked to the conference people in San Diego. They had given us free tickets to the conference, but we were stuck on how to get there, and would he please donate 2 round-trip tickets from Miami to San Diego? He said, of course I will. Just like that. It was that fast, and the next thing he said really floored me. He said, thank you for asking. I said, pardon me? He said, I don't often have the opportunity to do the best thing I can for the world unless someone asks me to. The best thing I can ever do is to give of myself, and you've asked me to do that. That's a nice opportunity, and I want to thank you for that opportunity. I was blown away. But I thanked him and hung up the phone. I looked at my wife and said, honey, we got the plane tickets. She said, great. Where do we stay? Ready? Next, I called the Holiday Inn downtown Miami and asked, where's your headquarters? They told me it was Memphis, Tennessee. So I called Tennessee, and they passed me through to the person I needed to talk to. It was a guy in San Francisco. He controlled all the Holiday Inns in California. I then explained to him that we had obtained our plane tickets through the airlines and asked if there was Some way he could help us with the lodging for the 3 days. He asked if it would be okay if he put us up in their new hotel in downtown San Diego as his guest. I said, yes, that would be fine. He then said, wait a minute. I need to caution you that the hotel is about a 35-mile drive from the campus where the conference is being held, and you'll have to find out how to get there. I said, I'll figure it out if I need to buy a horse. I thanked him, and I said to Lyndon, well, honey, we've got the admission, we've got the plane tickets, and we've got a place to stay. What we need now is a way to get back and forth from the hotel to the campus twice a day. Next, I called National Car Rental, told them the story, and asked if they could help me out. They said, would a new Olds 88 be okay? I said it would. It would be. And one day we had put the whole thing together. We did wind up buying our own meals for part of the time, but before the conference was over, I stood up, told the story at one of the General Assemblies, and said, anyone who wants a volunteer to take us to lunch now and again, would be graciously thanked. About 50 people jumped up and volunteered, so we wound up having some of the meals thrown in as well. We had a marvelous time, learned a lot, and connected with people like Jack Canfield, who is still on our advisory board. When we returned, we launched the program, and it's been growing about 100% a year. This last June, we graduated our 2,250th family from the Little Acorn training. We've also held two major conferences for educators called Making the World Safe for Children, to which we've invited people from all over the world. Thousands of educators have come to get ideas on how to do self-esteem training in their classrooms while they're still teaching the three R's. The last time we sponsored the conference, we invited educators from 81 nations to come. 17 nations sent representatives, including some ministers of education. Out of that has grown invitations for us to take our program to the following places: Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, Taiwan, and the Cook Islands in New Zealand. So, you see, you can get anything you want if you just ask enough people. End of story. This story was written by a man named Rick Galinas. And you can see very quickly, understand very quickly, why I shared this story with you on the day that I am talking about the scripture passage that says, knock and the door will be open. You know, why do people not knock? Or why do people knock maybe once and don't knock again? Fear of rejection. Now, I guess what Rick did in this article is, you know, he was 100%. Every time he asked, he got it. I'm sure that's not the case in his life. It's certainly not been the case in my life. And I'm sure it's not the case in your life. We've had times when we knocked and the door wasn't open. Now, remember what I said on Monday about asking you shall receive? The reason why the door was not open was because most of the time, if it's a good petition or it's a good thing or it's a good door that we want to have open, then it's not that God is not helping us. It's God sends people our way, just like in this story. Any one of those major executives could have said no. In this case, they all said yes, but we're going to get no's. The fear of rejection stops us from knocking. And I can tell you that in building my hospital for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, I've gotten some no's. You know, I've certainly got some no's from the Mexican bureaucracy. I've gotten some no's from the government leaders. And I've gotten some no's from people I've asked for resources. Many of them listening to this program right now because you haven't sent me a donation. But nonetheless, I keep on knocking. And you know I will, because if you listen to my program, I end the program almost every day, I think every day, asking for a donation. Whether it's a $5 donation, $10 donation, a $1,000 donation, that's not the issue. A donation. So I can tell you from personal experience, and I think that's important, you know, sharing personal experience, because the people who listen to this program, you have to wonder every once in a while if I've gone through some of the things you've gone through, or am I just being a Pollyanna and saying things because I never had to feel the heat of the fire. I never got a no. I never got a door slammed in my face. Well, that's what I'm telling you. I have. Of course I have. But I keep on knocking. And God gets the doors open. If not the way I want the door open, if not the exact door I want open, God gets some door open for me. And of course, the main door I'm knocking on, and this is becoming especially relevant for me as I rush through my 60s, the main door I'm knocking on is the door of heaven. And as I've been saying all week, actually I've been saying it now for over 10 days, heaven is not our home. Earth is not our home, excuse me. Heaven is our home. And so I'm knocking on the door of heaven. And I think that door will be open to me because of my personal belief in Jesus Christ, because I'm a compassionate person, and because I try to practice what I preach. All right. You know who our prayer partners are today? It's the CIA. Those are the people that have to be involved in international affairs. Those are the people who are trying to deal with all the evil people who are trying to infiltrate our government, our country, to work harm on us. They're the ones who try to advise our president and national policy people about the best way to deal with conflict, international conflict. Do they need a prayer more than ever? Because we live in very dangerous times, very complicated times. The world has shrunk so much. Please pray for the men and women of the CIA. May God bless them. Today's food for thought. You ready? This is so true. You can get all A's in school but flunk life. You know that. You met people. You know, that academically they do very, very well. But when it comes to living in day in, day out life with common sense, they flunk life. They flunk the test that life brings when it comes to temptations, for example. Now, small attempt to make you smile or laugh, okay? This is a question that will make you think. See if you can get the answer. Question. Who can stay single even if he marries many women? Time's up. And your answer is? Well, let me tell you what the correct answer is, because maybe you got the correct answer. I can't hear you. Priest. Yeah, a priest can marry many women. Clever use of the word marry and stay single. Gotcha. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listen to the program. That is such a shot in my arm when I hear people actually listen to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. I faithfully take them to prayer. I will storm heaven with you. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. No charge for it. Just send me your address. I think you'll like my newsletter. If you don't get it, you need to get it. And you can certainly give me a donation to keep my hospital open for the very poor and sick in Oaxaca, Mexico. You can make the check out to TASH, stands for the Anna Sitar Hospital, TASH, Inc., sent to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And when you get a chance, visit my website at Father Scott, Spa Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.